Daryl's not going to be here.
That'd be Calvin this morning.
Oh, dude, good for him. I'm glad he called you, all right?
Does anyone need to make any changes to the agenda?
Staff does not.
It's not. You entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make that motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Next, the minutes. If everyone's had a chance to review the minutes, because there will be a quiz if they want to meet.
Well, we have to make 70 or 80 on it.
Anybody entertain a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Motion's been made.
I'll second it.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next. Joel, if you could go over the subdivision approvals.
In front of you, you have the subdivision approvals and approvals of exemptions that have come, or a review of exemptions that have come through our office. You'll notice that there is an equal number of 1.1 of recombination of lots and changing of boundary lines between adjoining property owners, 1.9. Both of those had 4 come through our office. There are a couple of family subdivisions, 1.6. A 2-lot subdivision and one that was an existing parcel that had right-of-way in Transylvania County that they asked us to review as review officers.
And that's the preserved Rock Creek. And so the subdivision of Wayne was actually in Jackson County, but because part of the plat showed Transylvania County, Joel signed off as a review officer only. And so no subdivision of land. Mm-hmm. It's a mid-sized subdivision. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of explain a little bit. They are in the process of subdividing the upper part of the preserve at Rock Creek. Have you been up there recently?
It's been a couple of years.
So they have developed from 64 almost at the Jackson County line up. And we were presented with a plat at the end of last year, back in October, November. And we went out and looked at the road, and it was not anywhere near the condition that we could approve it. I mean, the road width was not there. There were no shoulders. There was one driveway that went off that, if you didn't make the turn spot on, you have a 3-foot gap. The grade is questionable. Joy followed up. We met with the surveyor. They said, well, Mike Thomas did all this, and I corrected them and said, Mike Thomas did not. And they said that they would come back and look at it. We got Joy received today notice that they would like us to go back out and look at the work that they have done to improve the road. I look forward to seeing what they have done, because what was there was really far away from meeting any minimum criteria. And these are the most expensive lots in terms of elevation and view. So
the middle part of the subdivision had the road extended under a provision that the subdivision ordinance no longer has, and that is minor subdivision. So if you subdivided 3 lots previously, you didn't have to meet road design criteria. And so there is a stopping point from where the road was previously inspected to where they're now wanting to subdivide that didn't have much review. And what was reviewed, they never recorded within the allotted time period. So.
And to make things a little bit more complicated, they came to the county planning board and asked for an exemption on an area where the road, because of the rock face and a water feature on both sides, you couldn't make the full width there. You just couldn't. And the planning board, on staff recommendation, said you have the road bed meets, and you do have shoulder, you don't have to have all of it. And the planning board agreed with that. And so they have that. But it's, I think Joy and I both dread going up there and seeing what they think they've got ready to move forward here. So I might even like to have you come join us and help us understand if we're doing it correctly.
I love going to a fish battle when I'm the fish. Are all the lots in Jackson County? Or?
No, most are in Transylvania County. Okay. The ones that have been subdivided recently are in Jackson County.
Okay.
There's still, the upper portion is about 80 acres. That could still be divided into 8-10 acre parcels if they wanted to go that route. But they're looking for smaller parcels, and which would require the road to meet road design criteria set forth in the subdivision ordinance.
The lots are served by water, and there are water, I guess what you would say, turnoff valves in the road. The road's swapping off where those are. I mean, it's really, if I was a potential investor, we reporting this.
Yes.
We are recording this. I would be very hesitant looking at that right now. And so I'm hopeful that they will have improved the road, and we'll see what they've come up with.
Do they have a package sewer plant there?
I think they're on septic for the property. I think they have water, and then I think they have septic fields.
How do they have water? And the water turnoffs in the road?
There is a, they have a well, and then they have a, what would be a large tank that is near the area that is being looked at right now. And so they're pumping into the tank, and from that tank they are using gravity to feed the lots below right now.
But now the road's not really, it wasn't real stable, so you were concerned about the infrastructure piping under the roof.
I would be, yes, sir. Yeah. So, well, we will go back out there. I think the email that Joy has said that they have worked with their contractor, grading contractor, and they think that they've got it that meets standards. We'll go out there. If anybody wants to go out and be part of the fish fry, we're happy to let you know. I'm serious. If somebody would like to go out with us and see what we are looking at and how something is done, we'd be glad to let you know.
Okay.
It probably will not be next week, but the following is when we'll be able to get out there.
Because I've never been up there. I'd like to see it.
Yeah. It's actually pretty spectacular.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful place.
Yes.
That's all we have on that, sir.
Next, the Mountain Ridge Top Protection
Office. Yeah, so at the last meeting, you went through it, and just as a real quick recap, went through the entire ordinance, not line by line, not even section by section, but we just kind of discussed in generalities what is the ordinance, what do we want to do, and what I took away from the last meeting was tonight, you wanted to go through it pretty much section by section. Joy and I talked about this. I don't think we need to read every sentence, but section, and just say, do you have a change, or is there something that you have a question with? Go through the entire ordinance on there. And then there was a discussion at the end of the meeting last time about how do we notify the public on this? You know, what is the process? And I think we were looking at evaluating two different processes. One process would be put a small ad in the paper and just make people aware of the public is invited to a meeting, planning board meeting, and then give a web link on that. and then send out letters to property owners that we think would be affected by this. The other option was to buy a larger ad on the paper and show the mountain ridges. Joy and Kaylin have done work on that, and my recommendation at this point, when we get to the end of the meeting, is let's not worry about taking out a larger ad on paper, because it's still not going to be readable. It's also very expensive to take out a quarter of a page, half page, that won't be legible. And so what we will discuss after we go through the draft ordinance is a draft letter to property owners that Joy is able to send a letter to in a mail merge, and then have just an ad in the paper that would say, at our next meeting in April, we would invite the public to come and discuss any concerns or questions that they have. And so we've got both of those for you to look at after we go through this. Is there anything else that you want to need to cover? Taylor, you could.
But now, Mark, that would take care of the legalistics as far as public notification is still mainly done through media.
Well, it's done through media.
Public notice, right?
Yeah, so we're not doing it. We are going beyond what the planning board has to do in terms of notifying. We don't have to send a notice to the property owners. We don't even have to put in a map in the Transylvania Times. The only thing we need to do is say, the planning board is having a meeting, and here's the agenda. That covers our legal obligation. Planning board, though, has taken a little bit more aggressive approach on this and said, and Mac brought this up at the last meeting, let's engage those people that we think are going to be affected by this. And so that's the discussion.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to go the extra mile.
Oh, sometimes it does.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, this affects those people's land. Mm-hmm. And I think to give them as much information as possible.
This is what we did with the sign control and the scenic corridor ordinance, and I think that it served us well. It served the county commissioners well, because at the end of the day, county commissioners didn't have one negative complaint on any of the changes being brought up for the sign control and scenic corridor. So it's really a preventative measure, if anything, engaging the public up front and saying, we're doing this.
Well, it's the right thing to do.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So, if it's okay, I think Joy and Kaylin are prepared to just go through the ordinance. And again, I don't know if it needs to be sentence by sentence, but certainly section by section. And if anybody has any questions or comments, let's.
Can you all see that?
Push it back.
You can.
And
it's a little bit. If you push it back too much, we'll have to undo this, which is.
So, as just a kind of a reminder, the main thing we're doing with this ordinance is it was adopted in 1983. So it is probably one of the oldest ordinances that we have in the county. It was adopted following the Sugar Mountain condominium being built up in Avery. Is it Avery or Ashe County? Avery County. Avery County. And the planning board has said, we want this ordinance to match the other ordinances that we have already. And so most of the changes that you see are formatting and changing where things are, and then adding in processes that are similar to what we already have. And with that, when we get a little bit further along, I have some input for you consider from Dave Owen with the School of Government.
It's right here.
Ah, we're already there.
We're already there. So the short title was modified to match the titles of other ordinances. It is an ordinance. The whole thing together is an ordinance and not an article. There's individual articles. And so the short title was changed to be an ordinance. Shall be known as the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance of the County of Transylvania, North Carolina. Under authority, It was recommended that we also include the general statute 153 that gives us police power, because it is a safety hazard having tall structures that are built on mountain ridgetops that may need extra engineering because of the wind that they get, or may need different things to be considered with the design of it, that we, the authority that we have is not only this Article 14, Chapter 13A, but also 153, as you see in his email there.
So the email that I just shared with you is correspondence between me and Dave Owen, who's an attorney with the School of Government, and you start at the back going forward. You can see I asked the question, what do we have latitude to change because of the way this was originally adopted as part of Article 15, 113A? And basically, he came back and said, it's really kind of vague, which you see my response back is, how come planners always pick these problems to deal with? Mm-hmm. And a little banner back there, I've known Dave for a long time. But basically, his, as Joy just said, his recommendation was you need to include 153A. It gives us the police power to make some of the changes that we're talking about. And so that was the, of those two pages, mm-hmm. that's really his recommendation. And then I think that we're good with making the changes. We're good when we have the discussion about defining what ridges that we want to look at. We're good with adding Dunn's Rock because it has a protected ridge under 153A.
Do we have 153A?
Do we have a copy of it?
No.
I don't have one to hand out.
What does it say, basically?
It basically says that counties have, through legislative action, the ability to police. It's called the police power statute. And so it basically says, for purposes of safety, counties can do certain things to regulate things that might be a public concern or hazard. So the subdivision ordinance is adopted primarily under 153A. The sign control ordinance is adopted under 153A through the police powers. Almost all of our ordinances, if you look at them, Sandy, are based on the authority given to us by 153A, and we can get that for you.
So the next version that you have will have that reference.
Okay.
So where it says Article 14 of Chapter 113A and 153A of the North Carolina General Statute.
Slight wording modification with bullets to highlight why there is the ordinance. The authority was moved to the front of the ordinance to be similar to other ordinances. So although it's scratched out, it was just moved to the previous article. Jurisdiction, it applies outside of any planning jurisdiction of an incorporated city or town, so outside of Brevard's ETJ and the town of Rosman.
Although, quite frankly, that second sentence where it says municipalities within may elect to allow this ordinance, the reality is there are no ridges within the city of Brevard's planning jurisdiction or the town of Rosman that meet that, are there?
There's a small one in Brevard. It goes into the ETJ there. Right here. Very small section.
So if Brevard doesn't adopt this ordinance, then the state.
The state, I don't think the state's going to do anything on that. So, in fact, I'm almost positive the state won't do anything. So Brevard could say we want to adopt this. Thank you. Thank you, wow.
The previous ordinance, I don't believe, said who was the enforcement officer. And the county commissioners asked that the planning department be the enforcement officer for the sign control ordinance. And because we are the enforcement officers of the telecommunication tower ordinance, and this is very similar, we elected to put our department there. It could change the building and permitting. If the county commissioners choose, but it will likely say our department as the enforcers, as the administrators of the ordinance. So if anyone has any questions of who to contact, if they want to build a tall structure on the mountain ridge, it's there. There's no question about it. Interpretation was included in this ordinance. It's not in other ordinances. And so it was part of the original one, but in a different format. It was more sentence paragraph form or subsection B form, and we put it into section 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4. Definitions. Dunn's Rock is the only one that we still need to determine. Well, I guess there's a protected mountain ridge as well. Dunn's Rock, yes. Last time you guys mentioned having just a ridge line. Like other ridges, I did that on the ridge map. These two little lines here in the curve of 276, the one where the cursor is right now is Castle Rock, and this one is Dunn's Rock. So they are included on the ridge map, but they could also have their own form if we wanted to be larger. It didn't sound like you guys wanted it to be larger, that you just wanted the contour.
We were going to use a specific contour elevation to meet the definition.
Now, there's the question of, do you want a contour line in the middle of the rock or at the top of the rock? We didn't clarify that. If we go to the top of the rock, it's the 2,900-foot contour for Dunn's Rock. If we go to the top of the rock of Castle Rock, it's the 2,700-foot contour line. If we go into the middle of the rock, because the rock is very large, and it has a large rock base.
Yeah, and to my way of thinking, that's original.
The top of the rock.
Right.
And so it would be the northern rock formation found at the 2,700-foot contour line. Do we want it to continue or just be and the most southern? Do we want to include the land between the two rocks or just the tops of the rock? Because it dips into a hollow.
How much of a change in elevation is there going to be?
The top of Dunn's Rock is 2,900 feet. The top of Castle Rock is 2,700 feet. So that's a 200-foot difference.
200 foot is almost not enough to mess with. I mean, it ought to be included, I think.
But
because, you know, you got two peaks and then somebody wants to build something in the middle, and that doesn't make sense.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Tweet is one.
And the rest of the ordinance defines the ridge line, and then it's, is it 100 feet in elevation from the ridge line down?
Mm-hmm.
That's restricted.
It's 100 or 60?
It's 100.
100 feet. 100 feet. On either side.
Right.
There your ridge, and you can go down 100, and that's that buffer that you have. So you're looking at 2,700 going down 100 feet on either side of it. So what that says then is that somebody could put a tower at the base of Dunn's Rock, because it's more than 100 feet from top to bottom. I doubt anybody would. But, you know, I could see somebody coming in and saying, I'm going to put something, I've got a piece of property, I'm going to put something 100 feet below the 2,700 foot. And that, whatever that is, would be in front of, not on top of, Dunn's Rock.
But theoretically, that's illegal.
Unless you have this range between 2,400 and 2,700, and then if they put it at 2,300, it will not cover Castle Rock, because it would, a 200-foot cell tower would not cover the whole rock formation. If we leave it as just the 2,700-foot contour, then a cell tower could obstruct the view of
a portion. Wouldn't be on top of it, but it would be in front of.
It would be in front of.
I don't think there's going to be a real issue here, because you've got Camp Rock down below, and it is in a conservation easement. I don't see it as a big issue.
So Camp Rockbrook does not own Dunn's Rock.
No, it doesn't own it, but it owns the property down below, doesn't it?
I thought their property backed up to the base of the rock. I mean, they use that rock for climbing.
They do, but then, Joy may be correct, that the rock itself may be technically owned. I know that Art Loeb, his house was bought by somebody now, and I can't remember their last name, but they're on top, and they actually own part of the rock face. And so
I didn't realize, so I saw this. It was, because from a distance, you don't see that house.
Oh, you don't see it. There are several houses up there.
Are there?
Mm-hmm. What's the name that used to teach down psychology at the college had a house up there. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. That happens a lot lately.
There is one property owner that owns both rock formations. Yeah. Give me a minute. It's this really large parcel right here. Reed Carter. That might be Rockbrook.
I think
that might be.
That is Rockbrook.
Reed Carter.
That's Rockbrook.
Okay. It just didn't say Rockbrook, so
yeah.
I didn't have it in my head.
That's Rockbrook.
Okay.
Let's go to 0050 there next to it.
0050.
Who owns that?
Judge.
What's the first name?
Patrick or Deborah.
No, that's not the people I'm thinking of.
So, Rockbrook.
So then, Mark, so you're thinking we need to drop down and include that 2,400 in it.
Well, I think because Rockbrook owns that, I don't think that there's going to be a problem. But if you wanted to be clear that you did not want a tall structure on top of or in front of, you would put that range in there.
Those conservation easements are pretty strict.
They are. I would probably say between the contours of 24 and 29. I would just have 24 and 29 the entire length right there. And just have that block
24 off. To 29.
Yeah, and just have that including Castle Rock and the Dunn's Rock contour lines 24 to 2900 and not try to distinguish between the two. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's like 500 feet in elevation.
No, that's what that rock is in places too. But again, I think if we were to send this, if I had a discussion with Jeff Carter right now, I bet Jeff would say, I don't have a problem with that. Knowing Jeff, I mean, we can specifically reach out to Jeff and just say, do you have any issues with this?
I see by already having that conservation easement, those things are extremely difficult to revoke.
Yep.
Once they're set, they're set.
They can be, but they are, as you said, very difficult. And they're not only tedious, but there's cost to it too.
Are we good with this?
You don't like it.
I don't really like it.
What would you prefer?
Well, my issue with it is, you know, now we're not only saying that the mountain ridge top has to be protected and the view of
a ridge
line has to be protected, and we're worried about sewer issues, fire issues, all that stuff along the top of the high ridge. We're protecting the public's view of a rock. I mean,
but only in this one instance.
But
in this one instance, all the others were looking only at that ridge. Sandy has a picture of it. Right,
I understand
here.
That, but I mean, does that lead to someone has a beautiful waterfall on their property and you can't build a house beside it because people don't want to see a house beside the waterfall?
Steve wants to see this.
You see what I mean?
All right, so let's use the example Glen Cannon Waterfall, that second hole right there. We put an ordinance at some point in time that says if we want to protect all waterfalls that you can see from a state maintained road. That's a different, that to me is entirely different.
But that's what I'm saying. To me, that's what we're talking about is entirely different than the whole mountain ridge top protection. I agree that it's probably not an issue in this
particular
case.
But your thing is it's a slippery slope.
But, right. I mean, we have a mountain ridge top protection ordinance that we're using to do one thing.
Right.
One ideal, and we're applying it totally differently to this one.
The current ordinance includes Dunn's Rock.
Yep.
It does not define it. So if we leave Dunn's Rock as protected, whoever comes in 5 years can interpret it however they like. And they can say it's between 2,400 and 2,900, or they can say that it is just the rock face or just the top of it. They can interpret it however they like. And we can do that, or we can define what it is.
Well, you run into that with almost every law. One size never fits all. So you've got one little chunk of stuff out there. That's really the only outlier.
It is the only outlier that we have with this. And it is, you're correct, it's the only one.
Matt, you think we're setting the precedent?
That's the concern.
Yeah, that's my concern. We're taking an ordinance that's doing one thing all over the rest of the county, and we're applying it totally different. We're not only protecting the top of Dunn's Rock, we're protecting the view of Dunn's Rock from the road.
It's already protected.
So,
the current ordinance already protects it. It's doing this stuff. So it's protected, but we don't know what it's protecting. It just says Dunn's Rock.
Yeah.
So, if I
understand it's a mess now.
If I'm responsible, Joy's responsible, and somebody comes and says, we want to put a tower, or we want to put an antenna, or we want to build something down below that's a tall structure, I think this is a better definition of Dunn's Rock than just saying Dunn's Rock.
Well, I totally agree. This or having a ridge line and obviously on the ridge line, either one is much better.
And so then if you wanted to do just the ridge line, you would go at, you see, the problem is you've got 2,700 feet for Castle and 29 for Dunn's Rock, and then somebody could do something in front of it. And that's the difference between all the other ridges.
But somebody could do something in front of all these other ridges.
That's correct.
Yeah.
They could.
That's my issue with word. And I agree that either solution would be much better than what we have now. I mean, that's,
okay.
It's kind of like the guy we had paint a truck one time, and we told him we thought he should have took a little more care with it. And he said, "I didn't try to make it look good. I tried to make it look better."
Was it better?
Or was it?
So what is then for me, it boils down to what is the overall bottom line purpose of the ordinance in the first place? Or is there more than
there is a purpose? It's a purpose statement right up there.
It's the natural beauty of that
purpose.
Individual problems and hazards.
Hazards.
To regulate construction of tall buildings or structures, water supplies, sewage, fire protection. So we don't address aesthetics at all.
And it says on mountain ridges.
That covers it for me.
I think that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good point. And this is the unique, this is the outlier.
Yep.
Your turn.
So theoretically, if we don't define it, we just say Dunn's Rock, whatever that is. Somebody could theoretically go in there and say, "Hey, I'm going to build a whatever," and it's going to block the view of the rock, and then people are going to sue, and they're going to complain, and they're going, "Well, you just said Dunn's Rock, and this is a ridge ordinance." That's a ridge. That's not a ridge. That's a face. So we're not doing anything wrong.
And so you could have a planning director like me, who's very kind of reads it pretty literal, and I say on the top, and then you get somebody like Joy who looks at things, and she's just as tough as anything. And she'll BS and just say, it's the entire thing. But she doesn't have time. So Joy, she's already looking like... I think you actually...
Dunn's Rock. The area encompassing the rock formation that paralleled Greenville Highway between Eliza Ware Road and Island Ford Road, beginning at the most northern rock formation, parentheses Castle Rock, and continuing to the most southern rock formation, Dunn's Rock, found between the 2,400 and 2,900 foot contour lines. Dunn's Rock is further identified by a map entitled Dunn's Rock Formation, which you guys have. And
right above your where it was.
Dunn's Rock Formation. Dunn's Rock, Castle Rock, 2,400, 2,900.
See, I mean, if this is 2,500, 2,400 feet is going to be.
Right down here.
Mm-hmm. If we're talking about a big area where normally we would talk about
just the
ridge line and 100 feet in elevation.
What if you said from the ridge to the base of the rock faces?
I mean, what if somebody decides to build a building here this tall and it's going to block the view from the road? Because it wouldn't, I mean, technically from the road you wouldn't have to have a really tall structure to block the view.
Agree, but I'm trying to come up with a way of addressing. At some point, somebody's going to get caught if they wanted to do something. Or they're going to say, I'm outside of your jurisdiction. Go fish. And so what I'm trying to say is maybe what you do is you just say ridge to the base of the visible rock formation from 276.
And the other thing, the way I would read that is it would say from 2,700 to 2,900 feet on top to 2,400 feet on the bottom would also include everything around here that's 2,400 feet on the back side.
On the Eagle Lake Division side.
But we're defining a map.
map is on.
The map is what that view is.
It will be on file in the our office, building permitting, registered deeds. It will be on file.
So there's a map that's going to, I mean, your point is well taken because you're on a ridge. It would be on the back side, but.
Is that 2,700 to 2,900 foot line? Is that the top of the ridge?
There is no ridge right there. There's just on rock. So yes and no. It does funky things. Let's see if the.
She's adding comfortable ones.
From an engineering viewpoint, on a vertical rock face, it would be extremely difficult to find that elevation line anyway. I mean, it's there, but how are you going to find it?
Yeah. And they're not labeled on WebGIS. But you can see the rock face right here.
And the rock face is not the top of the ridge.
No, it's not. It's up here.
Actually,
it's right there.
But my point is, the way we drew that box, could someone come right here and build a cell tower? Or a 90-foot tall condominium like
that. The way that we have that map drawn, no. Because we're saying see the reference map. And that map has that polygon right here on this side. I think your point's well taken, and I guess what I would ask then is, do you want us to mirror that on the other side to include the other side?
To me, you almost have to in some way. I mean, we're really not protecting what the reach top ordinance is designed to protect.
Again, though, Dunn's Rock is that unique feature.
I think part of it is what's the view shed from the road. We're looking up significantly to the top of this rock. If you place a tower X number of feet away from that face, when does it disappear over the horizon line? That's just a math problem, really. If we're looking to sort of hide a communications tower, if someone were to put right on your cursor, that's where I want my communications tower, do we say, no, it has to be X number of feet back off that ridge if it's X number of feet tall? So you can't see it from the road. Let's say the road is our main viewshed. Because even if you place a tower in front of Dunn's Rock, basically, anywhere you put it, from the rock to the road, you're going to there's towers blocking your view, and we can't protect everything from that rock face of the road.
But you know, I've had to wrestle with this concept about not having cell coverage in this county. I'd hate to see us block technological advancement. And I'll give you a good example, Cedar Mountain. I mean, you can't depend on cell coverage. And I mean, you know, I hate to say it because I'm a landline guy, but the thing is, this is the 21st century and people are going to cell phones, and that's just the way it is. And I hate to see us block legitimate technology that can even save lives.
Well, I would make the argument there's a lot of places you can put cell towers. Is this the prime spot? Does it need to be right in front of one of the most scenic vistas in the county, or can we do better than that?
Well, and what you're saying is having towers that don't have the high mountaintop coverage, but they cover certain zones, and you get enough of them, and those zones overlap.
Right.
We got the same thing.
You might have the same going to Barclay.
Yeah.
Going the wrong way.
I was looking for the shape of the parcel. The cell tower that we just permitted.
That's Island Port. Keep going up.
That's Island Port.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that Island 4?
No, it's a Barclay.
I mean, it's a Barclay.
Sorry. It's one more scroll down.
Yeah.
And you've got it. Almost. There it is. That's Barclay.
It's this parcel right here.
So there's a tower that's been permitted for that piece of property right, right there.
And our telecommunication tower ordinance says that it can't be within a certain distance of an existing tower.
Well, it, you have to show that you cannot co-locate
right
on another tower within a mile. It doesn't say that you can't have another tower. It just says that you've got to be able to demonstrate that you tried and there either was not sufficient space or the tower was not engineered for the additional equipment.
So there may not be need for a cell tower right in front of Dunn's Rock for a while. Because there's one right down the road.
So how do you want to decide on that, Nick?
So both good arguments. Would it be appropriate to say the ridge above Castle and Dunn's Rock, 100 feet on either side, or to the base of the rock on the rock side? You see what? So what you're going to be doing is you're saying you're going to follow the ridge.
Yeah. You're following the ridge, and you're saying 100 foot on the back side. But on the front side, it would be to the base of the rock formation. Would something like that work?
To me, that would be okay. And
does that make sense to you?
As far as executing it and interpreting it, it's probably better to pick an elevation and just use that elevation instead of drawing a box that really doesn't have meets or bounds or any legal descriptions for a surveyor to come out and.
But it's not going to be an elevation because that ridge goes up and then comes down and then goes back up again. So you're going to just use the ridge line 100 foot on the, what I would call the east side, Cedar Mountain side, and the base of the rock formations on the west side.
When we had it as the polygon, Castle Rock was included. But there's, the ridge for Castle Rock is like way back here. Unless it, I would have to look at the contour lines of another software, because this is not written. Unless it peaks here.
No, it doesn't. It slopes down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you, when you're on Paul Owen Road, it is actually, you continue to slowly go down.
Yeah.
And if you were to put the aerial on top of that, you've got some homes up there. They actually have a view above Castle Rock. So that ridge actually does indeed continue to go up a lot further than the ridge itself.
So here's the rock.
So that doesn't work on Castle Rock.
It doesn't.
At all.
So do we leave Castle Rock off and just do actual Dunn's Rock? Or is Castle Rock part of it?
Well, they're so close to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the real issue is it's almost a plateau on top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the issue.
It's really not a ridge.
It's not a ridge.
If you're on the Cedar Mountain side, it's not a ridge.
I agree.
It's not.
It qualifies as a ridge on the French Broad River side, but not.
Which is why originally we just had it on this side.
Probably why they gave up last time.
I don't think that they gave as much thought as we've given this right now, trying to. I actually kind of think this may not be a bad way of approaching it. And you're not, with this definition, what you could do is say the 100 foot on either side does not apply. It's only what's inside that polygon.
That would be a compromise. Fair, relatively fair compromise.
So, Mark, is it, if you don't define it at all, then to me that leaves a lot more potential for stuff to happen, and you can't really do anything about it. If you define it, and then somebody wants to contest that or say, you know, we don't think that's right, or then at least you've got something to stand on, and then if they wanted to make a deal out of it, they could argue it. Or
it comes to the planning board, and you would say, I'm seeking a variance out here.
My issue with the polygon is, like, say you wanted to do something on that property and you owned it, you take it to a surveyor and say, This is also included in the Mountain Ridge Top ordinance. And we need to be sure we're not in that. But he looks at it and he says, this is a blue line on a picture. There's no legal description. There's no
2,900 foot contour line at the top of Dunn's Rock, the 2,500 foot contour line at the bottom of Dunn's Rock.
Which is in effect probably not a straight line, but at least you've got a defining elevation there that somebody would have to go.
If you want, we can trace the contour line exactly.
Well, it really should.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing there is, though, where do you transition from 27 to 29
or 24 to 25?
Where do you transition there?
Now, that vertical face, it's going to be hard to tell because the lines all run together on the map, even though they never theoretically touch.
Correct.
That's kind of my issue. Is, I mean, it's better than what we had, but it's still really not a good description of the area we intend to cover.
For sake of discussion, the recommendation tonight is that we have one more meeting where we invite the public, that we leave this right now as is and then come back to this again at the next meeting. And in the meantime, I will follow up with Jeff Carter and see if Jeff has any thoughts on how this might be, how he would see this as the current property owner.
But it's arbitrary anyway, right? I mean, I don't remember the numbers, but a ridge, you have different, you have 3,000 and 3,500 or whatever it was.
You're looking at 3,000 is the top with a difference of 500 to the valley.
Yeah, and that's arbitrary. That's just arbitrary.
That's the state. And it is arbitrary, but it's the state.
Yeah, but somebody just said, hey, let's make it 3,000.
Yeah.
So there's nothing magic about that, and I don't see anything magic about saying, let's
agree.
Mark, at that next meeting, what if Joy comes up with a photo that has the exact 2,500 foot line instead of a squared off polygon?
We can draw a line that show. I mean, on a map of this scale, we can show an outline that will follow more or less the 2,500 foot.
As close as we can get it.
And then if a surveyor is looking at it, they know that they have to be at the 25-foot line.
They know what 25.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to have to be, I think it has to be a top number and a bottom number. You can't go 27, 29, 24, 25.
The issue is 29 is way back there.
Yep.
And so if we include Castle Rock, then this polygon goes way back here. And then goes right through the middle of Castle Rock, and then down here.
It would really be nice to know what type of easement is on that property, and
I'll have that.
Okay, we'll find out if there's a conservation easement and how many acres it protects, and
what the protection is.
If I remember correctly, they went through Kieran Row over Carolina Mountain.
They did.
You know, the question is for the map, like the large ridge map, Would Dunn's Rock then be a polygon instead of these lines? To match the figure, this would have to be a polygon.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just a line on the two rocks.
Well, I think at this scale, polygon probably works fine, because you're not going to be able to define any real info from that.
Yeah, it's just...
So a polygon or just a line?
I would think a polygon.
Yeah.
Okay.
It, all right. That's my opinion.
Well, that's consistent with the others.
Right.
We will come back and we will talk to you prior electronically. We will send you information. You cannot, with open meetings laws, we can't have a reply all, but you can respond back to me or Joy and say, here's what I'm thinking, and then we will try to put together something that's coherent. But try not to do it. If Joy sends you something,
yeah,
says, does this work? Don't hit reply all. Just hit reply back to Joy or to me. Yeah. We don't want, and not that I think the public is really all that excited about this topic. We don't want to have precedent where you're discussing things electronically. Okay, we'll work on that. All right, that was a half hour for section 2.3.
Typical planning board fashion.
Section 2.6 also has a lot of blue and red, and if any ridge whose elevation is at least 500 feet above the elevation of an adjacent valley floor and at least 3,000 feet in elevation. Remember, because our population is not over 55,000, we have to have that 3,000 feet in elevation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed to just say 500 feet above the adjacent valley floor. With the addition of Dunn's Rock, that was changed from and including Dunn's Rock. So it's just modification of the words. Protected mountain ridges are further identified by the map entitled Identification of Protect Mountain Ridges in Transylvania County, and it's on file. I am still in the process of making that. You guys asked for an 11 by 17. The blue lines are the U.S. highways. The pink lines are the North Carolina highways. You'll see that there's other roads as well. Do we want a whole lot of squiggly roads? Or do we want just the major roads? Because if you're trying to find your property, you're going to want all the little squigglies.
And if you want all the squigglies and you get that detail where you've got all of those little roads, and now you put on the ridge, it's going to be so thick in order to be able to see it that it's going to block out.
I think that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, this is a reference map, not a detailed map.
Okay. Because of the scale, and we can have the different townships highlighted. So Lake Toxaway can have a ridge map of just Lake Toxaway. We can zoom in, but for the entire county, it makes sense to have less roads. Do we want the protected lands on there?
I think that might be a good range.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Personally.
I'm looking forward to when the map of DuPont no longer has a donut hole in it.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah. It will. Okay. So, just the major roads. Municipal boundaries. The orange lines that are also the county boundary, I'll make thicker. But I was thinking that we would just do one color for all of the ridges. Do you guys have a thought on whether we do two colors or?
Yeah, like it'd be
one color.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because they have different meanings, but okay. So I will get the map to have a polygon of Dunn's Rock and to have the size of 11 by 17 as you guys requested. Structures are buildings, but not limited to buildings. So structures include buildings. These we included in the section below under exemptions. Structures of a relatively slender nature that are minor vertical projections of a parent building, including chimneys, flues, spires, steeples, belfries, and cupolas, are exempt from the inclusion of the 40 feet measurement. Structures designated as National Historic Sites on the National Register.
I don't even know why we have that on there.
I think it has to do with the fire tower. But I mean, that was coming off of Article 14. The general statute had that, and the only one there is a historic fire tower in Jackson County, right on the edge of Transylvania County. That is on a ridge. A ridge.
Is that the one on Bear Wallet?
Maybe.
It was in the paper recently.
Talked to it.
But it's in Jackson County.
It's in Jackson County. So
they just rebuilt it. Burned down. They're rebuilding it, aren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that burned down, and they are rebuilding that one.
And then fire towers are also exempt.
And, I mean, the question I have is: we know that there are no historic sites in National Register places.
But we might have some in 50 years.
The only other
tower in the county is up on Frying Pan.
Yeah, and that's actually in Haywood.
Yeah, that's on U.S. property there. Because if I remember correctly, they've torn down the one on top of Rich Mountain, where they're working on it.
Yeah,
there's probably not going to be any tall structures over 40 feet.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on it. I just don't see where that's going to come into play.
Permits. You need a permit if it's greater than 40 feet tall. It did have the building department as the enforcement officer. It just was not clearly identified in the administration piece. For the permit application to the site development plan, it should be prepared by a NC registered professional engineer. If it's a tall structure on a protected mountain ridge, it has to withstand the wind limits and the structural components that were one of the reasons that this ordinance was in place. The property should be surveyed by a land surveyor so that it's not built on someone else's land. If they're going to spend the money to create a really tall structure. Please stop me if you have anything. The visual impact assessment, 5.11, was added to be consistent with the telecommunication tower application. It helps to know what it's going to look like, to know if it's taking away from the aesthetic beauty of the mountain.
And we had the tower that was just permitted off of Barclay or across from Barclay. They actually came in with photographs superimposing what that tower, that height, would actually look like from different angles. So the planning board was able to say, yeah, we can see what this looks like. The public can see what it looks like. They may not like it, but at least you did a representation of what it would be. Again, being consistent with the other ordinance.
And the other detail was appropriate. In Transylvania County, North Carolina Department of Transportation approved roads outside of the municipal boundaries, and so street plant fields be reviewed and approved by them. we know who does that?
If it's dedicated.
If it's the right.
Yeah, if it's not dedicated for the driveway, we don't, that's not an issue.
If it's a driveway, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
In other words, that's for people who are wanting to build a road and hoping DOT will take it over.
That is correct. Where it will be dedicated to NCDOT. Otherwise, that doesn't apply. It's only if it's going to be, the key word there is, as long as it's going to be dedicated. This is just changing from DENR to DEQ.
They recently changed their name. Five 12.7 is a copy of a lease letter. So if there is a hotel company that wants to build this hotel on someone else's property and manage it, they have to show that they're authorized to do that.
On the top there, with documentation of approved sedimentation erosion control, why are we saying where it was water?
Why are we not saying
Yeah, why would we take that out? Because theoretically, they may not have a need for sedimentation erosion control.
But if it's over an acre, they're required to.
Correct.
Or if it's over 4,000 square feet.
Residential.
Residential.
Yeah, and a driveway to it. And that's our local ordinance and building code, what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I would actually, and I may have been the one that suggested we strike this, but in rereading that, I would keep the shall be submitted comment as, if required.
I think we need to scroll up and see what this, what the reading is, just because it all seems to be about package systems.
As appropriate.
And even as it said, as appropriate.
Yeah, as appropriate. So that's fine. That's why we did that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. The permit shall be submitted with all the documentation to the enforcement officer, who will review it and see if there's any deficiencies. Three copies of all supporting documentation shall be submitted at least 30 calendar days prior to the planning board. That allows for advertisements and newspaper ads prior to the planning board meeting, that 30-day window. There is a fee for the review of permits, and it's set by the county commissioners and posted in the department office. The enforcement officer shall review the application. Any permit application not containing all information and not meeting specifications set forth in this ordinance shall be rejected and returned to the applicant together with the reasons for rejection. The enforcement officer may allow the applicant 30 calendar days or a reasonable time period agreed upon by both parties in writing to cure any deficiencies in the application, which, if cured, would make the application complete. Again, that was taken from another ordinance for consistency's sake.
Jordan?
Yes.
I know this is pole vault over peanuts, but I'm thinking about
pole vaulting
over
peanuts.
Well, yeah. I mean, in other words, instead of saying to cure any deficiencies, I was thinking about to just use some word like to address other deficiencies, something like that, just to replace the word cure. I mean,
you don't like the word cure.
Well, I mean, it works, but I'm just thinking of.
You're pole vaulting over peanuts.
Okay.
Or if you're from Indiana, you're killing an apple sledgehammer.
You want us to find a better word than cure?
Well, that's fine.
Is that what's in the other ordinances?
It's what's in the other ordinances, Carl.
Otherwise, I would not have used that word.
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, if it said parties in writing to amend any deficiencies in the application.
We can say that.
But that's okay.
Amend is easy enough. I mean,
resolved.
You don't need to strike it out because it's all new.
But I'm on a different computer, so it thinks that it's a different person.
Great.
Amend or
address? The first one is going to be amend, and then you've got amended. You're correct.
But the first word you used was address. Amend.
Are you okay with amend?
Sure.
Resolve might be more.
Resolve.
I like resolve.
I like resolve.
Yeah, resolve is good too. Yeah.
Back, you got another word, I know.
You could amend it, not fix it. It just is wrong in a different way.
Yeah. Now, do you want us to go back to the other ordinance and bring that back to you so that
no.
we can cure that?
No.
Let's open up a couple more.
If there's a difference in the two, we should resolve it.
Oh, we got to cure it.
We could resolve it by amending.
This is just picking up language from the telecommunication, is it not?
It is. So once we have a complete application, the enforcement officer will be responsible for submitting notice to the local papers and mailing a certified letter to all known property owners abutting the property where the proposed tall structure would be located. There was a question whether the abutting property owners are the only ones that would be impacted by this, or whether it would be property owners within a quarter mile. And this is verbatim from the telecommunication tower one, and so we stuck with this one. The planning board will review and consider the permit application at their next meeting. That is what the notice will shall state. And it shall not appear less than 10 calendar days before the meeting and not more than 25 calendar days prior to the meeting. And it shall contain a map highlighting a quarter mile radius around the proposed tall structure.
Bob, on the category of hurtling over peanuts, just as a reminder for everybody, we have not approved or had an application for telecommunication or any type of tower like this tall structure in
June of last year.
I mean, so it's not something that comes. This is not something that we get a lot.
How is that progressing?
Mm-hmm.
Anything happened
with
that tower?
We had the gentleman who is building the tower came and sat in our office while he was waiting for lunch to finish. And so they are progressing.
Well.
Yeah. It will be up at some point. You all said that the planning board shall review this and it doesn't need to go to the county commissioners, and so they will not be involved.
Well, that's not quite true. They are the appeal process.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
If there's an appeal to the planning board's decision, it goes to the county commissioners, but they don't have to review every permit application. And so the ordinance said what the permits had to provide for, and it is all of these, the sewering needs, the water supply, all of those are approved by DEQ and have to be in the permit application to be a complete application. So it was redundant on what the application needed to include. Issuance of a permit, if the application is approved by the planning board, the approval shall be stated in the letter, sent via certified mail to the applicant, and one shall be retained in the, by the enforcement officer, and one shall be sent to the board of commissioners so that they know that there was a tall structure approved by the planning board. And at the last meeting, you guys said it was okay to extend that to 10 days. Most likely it will only be a day, but depending on holidays.
Oh, yeah. Weekends.
Weekends. If no construction has begun within 6 months after the date of issuance of the permit shall expire. Based on the telecommunication tower, do we want to extend that to 12 months?
Does telecommunications say 12 months?
I don't know.
Or is that based on our experience?
Based on experience.
Recent experience.
And just experience over the last 18 months, but experience.
But they have to go through a bunch of FCC stuff that takes time.
They do. But they're supposed to do that before they submit their application to us.
Yeah, exactly.
So they do that all before. And so they got the letter from us, and within a week, building and permitting had their application on file. And they processed it. And so it took them 9 months to get the construction workers and the crews and the site ready for the telecommunication tower. So is 6 months long enough for the permit to stay valid? That's my question. Does it hurt to allow it to be a 12-month?
I don't see what it would hurt.
You see, that's a move on our part to be pro-business.
It's business-friendly.
Business-friendly.
Mac, I'd be good with some changes.
12 months would be fine with me.
The floodplain permit is 12 months.
I don't have an issue with that. Mm-hmm. I think the subdivision ordinance is, I think it's 6 months. No, it's a year.
It's a year.
So, yeah, 12 is fine.
So that would be consistent with subdivision and floodplain.
Floodplain tower.
I don't know what tower is. Okay. I could pull it up, but...
Well, I think 12.
Okay. Once approved, the enforcement officer shall record a copy of the permit in the Register of Deeds office. Currently, telecommunication towers are supposed to submit the letter to the Register of Deeds office. This says that the enforcement officer will, and then... the owner or his agent of the tall structure shall record the approved development plan. That's what the telecommunication tower requires, is that the development plan is submitted to the Register of Deeds office.
And we have in there enforcement officer shall?
We shall record a copy of the permit. Mm-hmm. The owner shall record the development plan.
I'm in charge, I should know, but why are we worried about recording it in the Register of Deeds office? Are we just wanting to make it official and that it is part of a permanent record beyond what we are supposed to? Okay. I guess what I'm looking at is that's a monkey that we've got to feed.
It is. Right now it's in the telecommunication tower ordinance, and it's not our monkey in the telecommunication tower ordinance, it's the the permittees, and how do we know if it's done?
And why do we care?
Right, well, what's the purpose of them recording it?
I'm working through in my mind why I would have had that,
you all keep it, right?
We've got it on file.
But it would be a public record if there was any survey or question in the future. It would be in the Register of Deeds office, and a surveyor or a real estate attorney or someone would be able to know that it's there because it's registered. It's part of the file of that property.
And from the standpoint of integrity of maintaining the longevity of something being recorded in the Register of Deeds office is far more likely than in planning office and down in the basement of DSS, and upon the demise of Mark, Joy, and Kaylin, whoever else is in charge, not knowing where something is. That is always, not always, but in all likelihood, is going to be there a lot longer. It's not an issue. If it's in the other, I think that we just need to make sure that we feed that monkey and don't forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the challenge. I would keep it.
So we want to keep the word shall instead of should?
No, I think you either are or you aren't going to do it. Does that make sense, Joe?
Yeah. If the plan board denies it, you have to make findings of fact to justify the disapproval, and it's entered into the minutes of the board meeting. The letter containing the findings of fact and specifying the provisions of this article with which the application does not comply shall be prepared.
Now, a lot of that comes from you and Kaylin and Mark advising us what technically is out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. But this is pretty much saying that if they have a full application and they have approval for water and sewer and they have a good site development plan, then it's allowed.
Permissive. It's a permissive ordinance. If you have all
these things. If you put this in there, it's a permissive ordinance. Like the telecommunication tower one.
I have an idea there. In other words, it's not something that any of us on the board would see that we don't think it's right. This is because it's based on a technical provision that either is or is not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Now, by updating the protected mountain ridges that are protected and meets the general statute, we may have existing buildings on a protected mountain ridge that is not one of the 16 that was previously protected. You guys get that? So if an existing building is altered or expanded that could intensify the violation, it's not allowed. So if we have a 45-foot building somewhere on a protected mountain ridge that is currently not mapped as a protected mountain ridge because the ordinance hasn't been updated, they can't make it a 75-foot tall building, or even a 47-foot tall building, unless they're making their chimney longer.
Or have a spire.
So what does that have to do with grandfathering?
This is the chimney or the spire?
No, grandfathering an existing building.
This is saying that the existing building is grandfathered, but they cannot modify it in a way that exasperates why it's non-conforming.
Or they can apply for a waiver.
Or they can apply for a waiver.
Well, an exemption. So technically we call it a variance.
Variance, okay.
And going back to his earlier example, we're not trying to make it right, we're just not trying to make it worse.
Right. Exactly.
If you're already out of compliance,
yeah,
that doesn't mean you can get any
worse
out.
That's right.
Right.
We've got some people that are trying right now in some other areas.
Yeah.
Violation notice will be sent in a manner that is similar to the sign control ordinance, where they get a violation notice followed by a compliance order if the tall structure is not corrected within the allowed time under the violation notice. So they have time to fix what they are violating.
We've never had to do that in the county before, have we? Not that I'm aware of.
For?
Where the county's had to go in and take something down that a landowner disagreed with. And I keep thinking about what happened on Bowcatcher Mountain years ago in Asheville.
Yeah, no, we have litigated situations where developers did something that was illegal and we took them to court and sued them to make the improvements that were needed. So that was a small subdivision in the Quebec area.
Remedies, appeals. Appeals to the decision of the planning board shall be made to the Board of Commissioners within 30 calendar days of their action. Appeal of the decision of the Board of Commissioners shall be made to Superior Court in 30 calendar days of their action. So there is an appeal process. And then this conflict with other laws and separability was not in the original ordinance.
This is standard language in almost all ordinances counties and cities have, and it just basically says you go with whatever is more restrictive is going to apply. Mm-hmm. And then the other is if one provision is found by the courts to be not allowed or illegal, it does not invalidate the rest of the ordinance. It just shows that that one piece is not.
There's no variance procedure. We discuss it like it's there.
Well, that's because we have variance procedure in all the others.
So we would, if you guys want a variance procedure,
we need to add that in there.
I really need this third, fourth floor on my house, and this is why, please.
And this is where I'm going to mitigate any negative impacts.
Right.
We need to have a variance in there.
Yeah, we do. Okay. So we will add variance, and we will add section 153A. Are there any other changes that you need at this time? Any other comments, questions?
By adding that, Joy, we're giving people the opportunity to do stuff with their land within reason.
Mm-hmm.
They can come and say, here's the harm, and this is what I want to do, and if I can't do it, here's the harm, and if I can do it, I'll do this to try to lessen the impact. So that's what that variance would be.
That's good, because what you and I were talking about, private property rights through education.
Yeah.
Any exceptions that we want to allow, like county emergency management to?
We have the exemptions at the very beginning.
Okay.
It's a lot for the rest. It's interesting.
Allow emergency. What would you want to add?
I would actually put it under 3.3. I would say something to the effect of county emergency, Transylvania County emergency apparatus, fire towers,
communication systems.
Yeah.
So we would allow the county's emergency services to have a cell tower, but no one else.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Do we want to? I know, like Jackson County does that. They have several exceptions. They have ones like emergency management. They allow cell towers and communication towers that are can only be so many feet above the tree line. On their mountaintop, they have like a, I don't remember what it is, like 40 feet above the tree line, 30 feet above the tree line.
Well, so in this case, they could put a tower up 100 feet below and it'd be 100, let's see, so you can't be 40 feet above the ridge, so they could go down 100 and be above that ridge. Yeah. So they're okay with that. They just can't put it on the top of that ridge and then go all the way up. So they would be able to do that.
How do we not treat emergency apparatus as a variance? I mean, didn't EMS come to the planning board and say we really need a tower here and this is how old?
Which is essentially what we did with the light on top of the Pisgah Forest telecommunication tower points. Mission came in and said, we really want to see a light on that. And the tower company said, we'd like a light on this. And the planning board said, we'll grant a variance for that. As long as it doesn't clash. And so there is, that was a variance process. There is a, I mean, with the sign control ordinance, we do have a provision in there for government signs. Government signs being exempt.
And Mark, just out of curiosity, what difference does it make if it's flat? Because that was before my time. I'm just curious. Is that a distracting? Yeah,
that's an aesthetic. If you have one light that is continuously burning people, but if you have that strobing effect, some people saw that as being aesthetic.
I mean, I just brought it up because I noticed we didn't have anything like that. I really don't have any feelings either way.
I think we've got it covered. We put variants in there. We could come back and look at emergency state. Well, state's going to be able to do pretty much what they want. Let me think about that.
Yeah. Government and emergency.
The other issue, and I mean, the county may just have to go back to the year 2 and revisit it, but from what I understand about like 5G data service, that's going to totally change.
It will, but I'm not worried about 5G in our area. Bob's point earlier, 5G comes in here, we're going to see lots of little small towers that basically are going to go on light poles. That's what 5G is going to be. 5G is light poles. And it's great. And that's where we won't even, this won't even be needed anymore once we go 5G. This ordinance may be, I think telecommunication tower is going to go away at that point in time. So, I think it will be transformed.
And it's going to provide internet to homes and businesses, and it's going to totally change.
You know, Mark, Troy, one thing that may be a benefit to you, every 6 months we get aeronautical chart updates automatically. I ought to bring you in an aeronautical chart of Transylvania County that shows all the towers that FAA is aware of. It even tells you how high they are, the base elevation of them, and the top elevation.
I hope that we have all of them.
Okay. If not, I mean,
I would love to see that.
What about... I don't like the word about.
Not the way. They're like the power line towers.
That's a public utility.
They're not exempt. I don't know how they apply or don't apply.
We got going over. Fuck that. I mean, you've got.
Well, everywhere a big power line crosses a 3,000 foot high ridge, there has to be a tower at the top where the lines touch the ridge.
Okay.
I don't know how it applies or doesn't apply, with it being public utilities. But we need to include that.
I'm putting a little note here. Government utilities and emergency service. But then utilities gets into windmills. It gets into cell towers.
Cell towers, everything.
It gets into everything.
Leave it there for us to research. We need to research and come back to you on that.
So,
have we chewed this enough for tonight?
Please move on.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here is Joy put together a draft letter that we would propose sending out with a map similar to what you've seen that would go to the property owners that we can identify via GIS. And then we would also put a notice in the paper that's going to be more like a legal notice, just saying planning board is working on this. Below is the link to the site on our website that you could look at the ordinance and maps. Planning board is meeting on April 19th. If you have any questions, please contact staff or attend the meeting. So that's last time we talked about having a larger ad with a map. I don't think that makes sense. Kaylin did some research on that, and I think an 8-inch square black and white one time in the tee times is $517. An 8-inch square in color is $776, and we can mail 300 letters for roughly $200. So I think the letters, Matt, your interest, if I remember correctly, was you wanted to try to make sure that you notify property owners so that we've gone beyond what I think is certainly beyond what we have to do. So does that letter make sense?
Looks good to me.
Joy drafted that, so.
With help from Kim.
Well, with help from Kim. Well, I made a couple of suggestions, too, maybe.
We put the draft space on the floor.
All right. Anything else? So our next meeting is April 19th. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to get a few more people to show up for that meeting and see where's Bruce. What he used to come to all of these.
Alright.
Joint planning board meeting. I talked to Daniel, and we would recommend that we look at the May 17th meeting for a joint meeting with the city planning board. We would suggest that that would be in the Board of Elections room like it was last time, and that Daniel and his chair and Daryl and I work on the agenda, the four of us work on an agenda for that meeting. But we have, that would be in 2 months. Is that okay with Jim?
Mm-hmm. Have they agreed to it?
Yes. Daniel said that they've talked to his board and they are in agreement. They would like to do that. And he would prefer the dates that I've given. He said that they seem to work best for him.
And that would allow us to have the public engagement next month, mm-hmm. and see if there's any more changes that need to occur to the Mass Merge Protection Ordinance before you guys approve it.
Approve it as a draft.
As a draft and send it to the county commissioners.
I'm hopeful that we can knock this out next month.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
19th.
And the joint meeting would be May 17th.
If I'm not mistaken, Mark, the original discussion about meeting with the joint boards it also included the Transportation Advisory Committee?
You are correct. And I actually, it would make it a little bit more cumbersome. But the reality is, there's a lot going on with roads right now. And I think it would be interesting to bring that group together. We are responsible for that board, so I don't think there's a problem if we said we're having a meeting that you'd like to attend. So is that something that you are agreeable to? We've done that before. We've had meetings with both city and county planning boards and the transportation advisor.
And what did we say about the Acoustic Trail stuff?
Thank you. That is something that we are, and I've got under other, we're working on the bike comprehensive plan.
Okay.
That is, we actually have our first stakeholders meeting next week with the consultant, Alta Planning. And while the Acoustic Trail is not the focus at all on that, Steve and I have talked about his interest in having a discussion with this board about where we see that going. And I told him that that's something that I think this board does, not the bike comprehensive plan. That's something else. And so it's really up to you in terms of having somebody in come in and talk about what that might look like. And if you want to do that, it won't be in April, won't be in May, it could be June or July, and have just an update from other groups. I don't feel qualified to give an update on that because I've not been involved with it. We could have somebody from Friends of Acosta just come and give an update. We could do that in June.
Now, Mark,
when is that stakeholder meeting?
It's next week.
The 29th at 12 o'clock.
Now, are we certain what the legalistics are on that right of way?
I'm not certain of anything.
See, I think that's going to be an issue because
Mark Cooley is going to be attending that meeting.
A lot of those, it's just like road right-of-ways, a lot of them were handshake deals and single sheets of paper giving people right-of-ways to put the railroad through there. I mean, those are probably still legal, but I'm not sure that it's been fully identified as to exactly what's supposed to happen to that land if the railroad abandons it.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the county commissioner has been very clear. They have said that that is an entity owned by a private company, Watco, and that as long as there's the potential for economic development, they could use rail, and it's owned by a private entity, they really don't want to jump into it. So that's where the county, that's the official position of the county. I don't think Steve is looking to try and change anything. I think all he is asking for is, could we get somebody in here to tell us what's going on and where it is from that perspective? Is that, you're not?
Well, it's part of the comprehensive plan too, right? It's on the end.
We have, in terms of the comprehensive plan, we never identified any particular trail.
No, but
in terms of the comprehensive plan, what we did say is that we would look at routes for bikes that connect not only in the county, but outside of the county. And that's what the comprehensive bike plan is looking at.
Yeah.
I'm certain that it will be a part of the comprehensive bike plan. We've told people it's not going to be the focus of the conference because we're looking at some other things.
Sure.
Is the transportation committee doing the comprehensive bike plan, or is that who's the lead man?
Alta Planning. It is the contractor that NCDOT hired, and we are working with on the stakeholder side.
So the county, we applied for an NCDOT bike grant, bike pedestrian, but our focus is only on the bike side of it. We were awarded the grant. The local match, there was a $15,000 local match. Blue Ridge Bike Club, Bicycle Club, provided $5,000 of the $15,000. The county provided $10,000. DOT, we opted to have DOT actually manage the entire grant process rather than us. But we are, as Joy just said, we're doing the facilitating of stakeholder meetings and making sure that we're connecting people with that.
And members of the Transportation Advisory Committee are going to the meeting on the 29th?
Jimmy Whitmire has been invited and said that he would be there. I mean, so we're calling a stakeholders meeting. It doesn't mean that everybody is necessarily for bikes. I mean, we've got some people on there that understand and have a real beef with bicycles. And they'd rather see roads widened for cars. Some probably would even like to see bikes just go away.
Mm-hmm.
But they're stakeholders. That's what we're trying to get them.
And that's May 29th?
No, that is next week.
March.
That's
March. Okay. And where is it?
On March 29th. That's right. Okay. Not next week, the following week.
And where is it going to be?
A Board of Elections. It's not a public meeting. It's just, but if you wanted to be there, it's just a group of people that have said we're interested and said, sure, show up. But it's not a designated board. It's not been appointed by anybody. It's just a group of people that are interested. Much like the stakeholders that we had with the comprehensive plan here and the same thing that we were working on. The only other thing I've got is sign and scenic control ordinances adopted. We've already discussed that. I've had one person along the 276 corridor who said, how are you going to reach out to all the property owners and let them know that they now live on a scenic corridor and that the ordinance has changed? And I'm really challenged. I think the thought is that we would send a letter to all of the businesses and property owners, and I'm not going to do that. I mean, it's the property owner's responsibility before they put a sign up, before they do something, to make sure that they are in conformance. I think there might be some ways that we can take care of, or at least try to get the word out through social media, and just say that Transylvania County Commissioners have adopted sign control and a scenic corridor ordinance extension of 276, and that if you would like to learn more about it, here's a link to it. Please contact staff for that. But trying to reach out to every property owner,
can you not just do a press release to the applicable newspapers?
Well, it's the Transylvania Times, so we could do we could do a press release to the Transylvania Times if people read the paper.
And back when they designated, what was it, the Thompson or the Whitewater, when they made that a national wild and scenic river, how did they advertise that? That was just in the newspaper, wasn't it?
I have no idea. That's all I think they did. Yeah.
I mean, that's the minimum legal requirement, is to put it in the newspaper, right?
No, once it's adopted, there's no legal requirement. It's up to the property owner to be responsible for what they do, and so.
But it would be beneficial on our part to go that extra step.
Well, I think that was the individual's point, is, you know, there's a change. How are you going to do that? And so I think it's through social media, it's on our website, and I think it, maybe we put a small story in the paper saying county commissioners have adopted all of that. Was in the paper. That was already
in the paper.
Yeah.
And I did the meeting report.
Yeah.
This is very important to me, that people see the planning board not as another government hurdle, but as a common sense entity.
I would say it's a two-way street. You can't do all their outreach.
Well, that's what you're doing.
We're going to work on that. And just make you aware of that. And the other thing is, would any of you in the next 2 to 3 weeks want to volunteer to drive with one of us and hold a camera or your iPhone, my iPhone, and video record some of these ropes? That's something that Joy and I keep saying we've got to do, and I think that if we had somebody else that said we're ready, it might hold our feet to the fire.
Let me know when you're coming, I'll put some banners up for you.
Just make sure it says McNeely across the top of it real big too.
Yeah, but nothing that says if we ever get into a bind that we can't look at things from there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Although it's hard to see ground signs and what they say when you're in the air like that.
Depends on how low you are.
I don't know if I want to go that low, man.
We kind of need a baseline at this point.
What was that small area? To what? I'm sorry.
We need kind of a baseline at this point.
Where
things stand now.
Yeah, that's the intent. So we're going to do that over a period of time.
Thank you. During the working week, or
yeah,
I don't mind doing it. I have a good camera better than this. It does, you know, video.
We can get a camera, I think, from the library. Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We have a drone. We may take you up on that soon.
Okay.
And then Joy just whispered Cedar Mountain, and your name came up yesterday in a meeting.
Is that good or bad?
Well, and then that will follow up to a conversation, two conversations that I've had today, two separate conversations. And so Cedar Mountain has approached us, and there were roughly 10 people yesterday. We went up to the Cedar Mountain Community Center, met with about 10 people, and they're very interested in looking at some form of small area plan. And the primary thing that I conveyed to them was you need to be able to articulate what you like about your community,
yeah,
and how you would like to try to preserve that, rather than we kind of the conversation started off with we don't want more Dollar General.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stop that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can say, if there are certain attributes that you like about your community, that we can actually start to try to address. And so that was yesterday. This morning I talked with an individual that's helping a group of people in the Lake Toxaway area. And really it's a larger area than just what we think of Lake Toxaway. It actually goes from Sapphire, which is in the Jackson County piece, all the way up to Latacoga. And looking and saying, how can we as a community develop a core from an economic development perspective and try to grow this area where it's really been stagnant for a while? And so that was a conversation that I had today. And then we had a group of people in my office meet to talk about Glen Cannon, Williamson Creek, wanting to say, and in that case, it's really more of we don't want something to happen to a resource that we've enjoyed, a golf course, and the beauty that we've enjoyed, the scenic vistas, and we don't want to see that change. And I think Cedar Mountain is on something. I think Toxaway is on something. I really tried to help the group from Glen Cannon, Williamson Creek kind of think and say, okay, what are ways that you can work with an existing property owner to help accomplish what you want? But it really can't be through the county trying to tell that individual what they can and can't do. And so those are three different, what I would call, small areas that we've actually been working on. And Steve, that is actually in the comprehensive plan where we talk about nodes and small area plans, mm-hmm, economic nodes and small area plans. So,
you know, there is a big landowner at Cedar Mountain that's, if that land develops like they're thinking, that's going to open up for a good community out there. You know the one I'm talking about.
Is it Terrick?
Stone property.
Oh, the Stone property. Yeah, no, I know of, yeah, oh, and what's there, but I hadn't heard any real development plans with it.
That's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Things are changing.
They are indeed. So that's all we have.
Any public comments?
You enjoy that, don't you?
That's part of the
meeting. Board member comments. Steve, would you like to go first?
Early voting begins April 19th. Look for me.
I think Bobby is looking at you right now.
Yeah, Bobby.
I think the way that we went through this plan up there, I think we did it justice. And I think by the next meeting, when the public looks at it, we'll have our eyes dotted and T's crossed. That's the best we can do. I feel good about that. And I'm really impressed by the way this board kicks around ideas and comes up with consensus.
You know, I really liked the, when we did the sign thing, we had a lot of people here for that, and we got some good input on that. I mean, that really helped. Hey, we didn't think about that, or, you know, here's another perspective. So I hope it do come to that, maybe. It just made it better in the end. It was interesting to see that.
Sadie?
I don't really have anything to add.
You've got a question,
though. I do? I was going to ask about this sheet. We've got all of these are protected bridges except these five that are under 2,000 feet. And all the letters are going to be going out to the people who live adjacent to or in the area around.
There's about 300 bridges or 300 property owners. So it's a lot more than just those five or 10 there. And remember, that is because they're in small sections.
Yeah.
And sometimes they go from public property onto one or two parcels. And then you'll see some that are not around public property.
How about the 117? Some of those were protected, right?
No green. Only the yellow. But this is four ridges right there. So there's some ridges are very short and some are really long.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to say that it's 300 ridges because in reality it may be 50. If you look at our horizon. So
you did that to us. Well. What Joy has looked at it, and the estimate is that there's probably 300 properties that you'll get a letter.
Hopefully, you don't leave anybody out.
Yeah, the reality is, we will probably include people that don't belong, and we will probably leave some out. But what we're doing is we're putting an ad to paper saying we're working on this. If you have questions, please give us a call. And once we know a parcel identification number, we can match that up with a line.
Mm-hmm. So if someone comes in and says, I own this property, do I have a protected mountain ridge? We can say yes, or we can say no. The issue comes into that 100 feet, because...
Right.
Yeah. There's properties that intersect bridges, and that's how I selected them. But then if you go into 100 feet, it could just mess everything up. I'll see if it increases the number much. But.
And how far ahead do we need to go to the paper before a meeting?
There is no required time. We will have it out at least a week's space. Yeah. And if we get much more than a week in advance, people won't pay attention. So, and in fact, sometimes we've done it so that it would be Monday before the meeting, so it would have been Monday.
Okay.
And that's typically, you know, somebody looking, Monday is the highest red paper in terms of volume. And so that's actually probably the best part.
Lauren?
Since I wasn't here last time, Bob, I'm Lauren. Nice to meet you. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And I would like to request Mac to close this bad boy out.
Please.
Well, I appreciate everyone's cooperation. It's really nice for this board to bring a lot of different views together and work out something that makes sense and fits the community. Like I've said it several times, probably the worst committee you can have is one where everybody agrees.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's definitely a road down to people. Thank y'all. Thank you, staff, for all your work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing Caleb, you're right.
Yeah, we know.
You're in deep.
Hey, cool. I really didn't actually say it.
Could not be, you're correct. I thought I heard a motion in a second.
Anybody that would like to adjourn, please stand up.
No one's made a motion to close the meeting.
Yes, Lauren did.
Lauren,
and
Steve seconded
it.
Close, I think the exact expression was close this bad boy out,
right.
Which I interpreted as the official would be to